I pray it is all of you and none of me. Amen. Good morning again. This is the day our God has made. Amen?
Amen.
This is the day our God has made. Be glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
This is the day our God has made. Be exceedingly glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen indeed. I belong to a dynastic family. On one side, my great-grandfather, Aaron Van Dorn, and his wife, Letitia, settled in northwest Oklahoma in the late 1800s. They staked out their claim, busted out the prairie with a mule and a shoulder plow, and started living their dream. That dream and that place then passed to one of their sons, my granddad, John. And then that same dream in that same place passed to one of his sons, my dad, Dwight. And one day, that place and that dream will pass to the very capable and loving hands of my precious little brother, Martin. That's a dynasty. On the other side, my grandfather, Charles Pappy, was a visionary. He was a dreamer. He was a big dreamer. And he and his business partner decided that they could make a better hamburger, serve it quicker, and make money doing it. And that made them happy. And that's how Sonic was born. And then my dad and some other men took his father-in-law's idea, changed it up, pushed it around, moved it and molded it over the years, and created the Sonic Drive-In that you and I know and hopefully love of today. If you don't love it, we need to talk after church. It's my job to see that that legacy passes on to the next generation in my family. That's a dynasty. My ancestors did not live those lives or realize those dreams because of privilege or position or money. They did it on hard work, self-sacrifice, dog determination, and bold vision. And so I wonder about bold. How we can be bold in our lives, in our work, in our relationships, in our faith. Listen today to the text. Listen for our still speaking God as He speaks to us through our ancients. Hear the word of God. I pray from God's glorious, unlimited resources, God will empower you with inner strength through the Holy Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow deep and become strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how deep, and how high God's love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete in the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can come boldly and confidently into God's presence. And so what is boldness? I think boldness is our willingness to venture out and do the right thing at the right time, regardless of barriers that we may encounter. I believe it enables us to speak the truth and perform tasks without fear of the consequences or results, because it is right and because it is based in our faith. It is realizing that God is in control. God is there within and beside us, and God will take care of us. Therefore, we do not need to fear what others can do. Instead, we are to concentrate on our character and our call and do it with passion and conviction. But how do we get boldness? Well, our text today says, with the power of the resources of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and with Jesus in our hearts, our roots will grow deep and become strong. And I think that's where boldness blossoms. So how do we do that? Three things. First thing, develop a relationship with God. Meditate, study, pray every day. Spend time every day with God. Be faithful to that time. Our God loves us unconditionally and wants a relationship with us. He wants to laugh with you and cry with you. There are dozens of examples in the Bible of God speaking. God spoke to Noah and his descendants through the beautiful rainbow. God convicted an obstinate Balaam by using the voice of a goat. God spoke to Moses from amid a fiery bush. And God used the likes of Jeremiah to preach in only his dirty underwear. And friends, a relationship with God is like any other relationship. The more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. The more you open up and talk to God, the easier it's going to be for you to hear from God. Number two, open up your hearts to the Holy Spirit that lives within you. That's right, I said the Holy Spirit lives within you. Let me tell you how I know that. Peter is in Act 2, about 15, Peter's getting onto the crowd. He says this, "These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see now was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel when Joel said, 'In the days,' God says, here it comes, 'I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, man and woman alike, and they will prophesy.'" There it is. The Holy Spirit's in you. All we have to do is figure out how to tap that resource, tap that love. Mark, how do I do that? You do that by being open. You do that by finding goodness in everyone, especially your enemies and your detractors. You give away abundant kindness without regard of ever getting it back. You be in the moment with every single person you encounter. Every one of us has a heart and a story and a passion. And it's our responsibility to see the good in each other. So be in the moment with the fast food clerk, with the dry cleaner, with the person checking out your groceries. Be aware and alive to the Spirit. Ask God to help you be aware to the life of the Spirit that's within you, and that Spirit will then come alive. Number three, develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus was a very real person. Although he is the Son of God, he came to us as human for a reason. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 emphasizes Jesus' ability to identify with human weakness and an ability resulting from his own human status. And it's Jesus' human status, including that he suffered and that he died, that allows him to save humankind. So while it is important that Jesus is at God's right hand in heaven, it is equally important that Jesus was a man. And friends, don't you think someone who died for you would be willing to live for you as well? My puppy, Maxie, and Jesus and I walk every morning. Jesus helps me every day in my work. He helps me tend my garden. He holds me in my darkest despair and dances with me in my joy. He's sitting right there next to you now. All he wants is for you to acknowledge him and then to engage his love and his ministry in your life. So, according to our text, with God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, we can come boldly into God's presence. So how do you do bold? First of all, be prepared. Sir Francis Bacon, the father of modern scientific inquiry, said knowledge is power. So if you have a presentation at work or something like that, know your stuff. Anticipate the questions. Be prepared. If you need to be bold in a relationship, use Jesus as your example and address the concern or the problem or enjoy the loving intimacy. Allow yourself to believe your heart, believe that the warmth is there, that is there, because you feel God, you know the Holy Spirit is at work, and you have Jesus' hand in yours. But there's a tough side to this, friends. Bold is difficult. It's hard work and it's scary. To develop those relationships I just spoke of, we have to get rid of the junk. We have to clean out the closet because somebody new's moving in. And that means we have to face our demons. And not only do we have to face them, we have to take away the power they have on us. You know the ones I'm talking about. You're fat. You're skinny. You're ugly. You're stupid. It's got to be perfect or Daddy won't come home. Mommy's going out with her special friend tonight. You take care of your little sisters. Girls don't love girls. That's wrong. Boys don't kiss boys. What are you, a sissy? You have to take away those demons or whatever your demons are, and you have to ask God to heal you from them. I don't believe we ever get rid of the memory of them, but we can certainly take away the power that they have on us. You have to hand those fears over to the Holy Spirit, ask God to destroy them and to create you anew without them, and follow the model that Jesus gave us and take away their power. You have to take away the power. Take the power away from them. I know you can. You know why? Because you're not too fat. And you're not too skinny. Because you're pretty. And you're smart. And because you're not responsible for the behavior of your parents or any other adult that ever hurt you. And also, friends, quite simply, because love is love. But heads up, you have to be careful. Bold can be dangerous. Bold without humility can be impudent and brazen. Bold without respect can be insolent and brash. Bold without love can be presumptuous and forward. Bold works best when you use cautiousness because they balance each other out and it allows the very best of our passion and our wisdom to come out. But the potential for harm is there, so you'll be wise to be gentle in your boldness. I'll close with a little story. A friend was sitting at his mother's kitchen window last Christmas. He watched her throw out some seeds out onto the snowy ground for a covey of quail that were over in the protection of the trees a ways. Eventually, here come the quail, all in single line, headed to the seed and started eating. Quail are very skittish animals. The slightest sound or movement, and they flurry off. They don't really run on the ground. They actually get up off the ground 2 or 3 feet and flurry together back to safety, wherever that's at. And the sound that the covey makes when it does that is like the ever whipped a rope around in the air and that whirling sound, that's what the quail sounded like. He said he could hear it even through the window. As he watched, there was one quail that stayed behind, and she kept eating. Every day, this little ritual would happen, and every day, Hazel, that's what he named this little quail, would stay behind and eat. About day 2 or 3 into this, he started realizing something about his own life. And that is how people get into group thinking and run because everybody runs, and how they rob themselves of the blessings in store if they were just bold enough to remain and face their fears and risk not thinking like everyone else. He's a good friend. He learned a lot from Hazel, I assure you. I think Hazel was bold. She dared to be different and stand alone when she needed to. Boldness, friends, is being willing to take risks in the service of what matters. What matters in your life, what matters in your heart, what matters in your faith. It means being courageous, trusting the Spirit that lives in all of us, knowing without a doubt that our God loves us and that Jesus is with us always. Boldness doesn't mean lacking fear or anxiety. Rather, it means pushing past those things to do what is right or what makes your heart sing. My prayer this morning for you, my dear friends, is that your hearts will sing. Amen.